This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. And we are streaming our Fastest 50 on Facebook Live today. Welcome. And very exciting. It's the culmination of a week's worth of work from our listeners. But it is time to announce your choice as your favorite soundbite of 2018. It is time for the Monson Madness winner. The two finalists were the angry voicemail from Diane, who doesn't like Ursula and Nicole, versus Kashama Sawant against the downtown construction workers. And the winner of Monson Madness, your choice for the best soundbite of 2018 is...
Dear members of media, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
I can appeal to my brothers in the labor movement. As you know, I'm also a rank and file member
no
of the labor
movement. No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Brothers, when we can disagree and we will have disagreements in the labor movement, but if we fight against each other,
no
the boss
tax!
Is win.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
That's why I invite one of you to speak here with us. You can say exactly what you think, but rather than chanting
no
against each
tax!
Other, let's hear each other.
No head tax! No head tax!
There it is, the downtown Seattle construction workers shouting down socialist loon Kashama Sawant. Is your choice for the best soundbite of 2018. I want to thank everybody for voting, and it was a landslide, as predicted by
you
me.
You were correct
yesterday.
I was fully expecting Diane to win.
No.
So I apologize.
Yeah,
Diane,
it was kind
win.
Of a rout, as a matter of fact. So Kashama Sawant, people seem to dislike her more than they do you and Nicole. Apparently.
Now that makes me feel so much better.
I don't know that they
That's called dabbing with faint praise.
I think they like her passion.
Like
Diane's passion. I don't know that they dislike her. I think they like her
No,
passion.
I didn't say dislike Diane.
Oh, you said like...
No, I said they dislike Kashama Sawant.
Oh, yes.
More than they dislike you two.
Okay, got
that's,
it.
That's why that won in a landslide.
And we did hear from Diane.
Yeah, and look...
It's okay. I know you're struggling about whether I'm
conflicted about this whole thing because I appreciate that Diane loves me so much.
I know.
And that she's a listener to the show and that she loves the show. And of
she
course
she hates me.
No.
And only kinda hates Nicole.
And I dearly love both of you, so I've been uncomfortable with that soundbite because I appreciate our listeners, even if they disagree with any of us. And I love both of you. So I always had problems with that soundbite.
If Diane is listening, though, I want her to know that I thought about her last night. And I asked Nicole as I was driving into work today if it was okay if I had a message for Diane. I actually have a message for our listeners who have Diane's in their lives. And then I actually have a message for you, too.
Oh, jeez. That's really uncomfortable.
I know. But
really,
Diane did call
yes,
yesterday.
Diane called yesterday, and she just said she didn't mind being a part of our contest. She called it, and she said, you know, she thinks that people probably agree with her, and that's why she was winning, which I guess that could be
we got some text
one way to look at it.
To that
yes.
extent.
Not that they don't like Ursula, but that they might agree with her politically or stuff like that. Anyway, we'll play a cut for you. It's pretty funny.
This all makes me uncomfortable.
But regardless, her thing was that she just, you know, She thought you worked really hard for the show, and she just cared a lot about you and your show. So she doesn't.
Oh, you made it sound really nice. What you told me yesterday was said a little bit differently.
It wasn't great.
But anyway.
Okay.
Can I share my message?
Yeah,
I do have a message for Diane. Okay. So this is just as we head into the new year.
Okay.
I was thinking about it. So, Diane, if you keep looking out the same window of your house, your view is going to be very narrow, and I'm afraid it's going to be boring. So I hope that in the new year that you can open the window of your mind and allow some fresh air in and new lights and new truths. So then I have also a message for people who have Diane's in their lives.
Should I let you get all your messages out before
this other message, and then I have one for you, and we can save it, or we can...
It sounds like if Diane agrees with me on everything, she has opened her eyes and dares goes against convention and sees light and truth.
Except that
if she agrees with me on everything.
But if she agrees with you, that's one thing, and that's great.
Yes.
But she doesn't want to hear any other
viewpoints.
She only wants to hear your viewpoint.
She
doesn't want me to challenge you,
which
to
is
question
very
you,
different from which, my approach.
Yeah.
Because I love our conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So for those of us who have Diane's in our lives, otherwise sometimes known as trolls.
I'm sweating like the whistling contest right now. Okay.
You don't need to.
Okay.
So this is what I tell myself. Don't let bitter, unhappy people drag you down to their level. Instead, use their behavior as a reminder of how not to act and be so grateful that you're nothing like them.
She really got under your skin.
Dang.
No.
Yeah. You know, well, yeah.
Well,
there is a... So, okay, because I feel bad
because you... This is 40 minutes worth of going on about how... how idiotic we are, how we would be nothing without... And I'm just saying, we can't...
But you understand. I get like 10 of those a day.
Yes. Yeah.
A day.
Yes. Yes.
You got one a year.
But, no, I think I get more than that. But anyway, I just don't read them. But anyway, but I do want to say one thing, and this is, and I don't want you to feel, are you feeling really uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Do you want me not to say it? Okay, this is for you.
No.
And this isn't all, because I actually do agree with Diane on one thing.
What's that?
So you're not my boss, so that,
right.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Diane on one thing, and that is that I do feel really lucky to get to work with you.
Well, you know how I feel mutual
and
about
Nicole
that.
And Sean.
Yes.
Yes, I do. And I may get a little emotional, and I'm going to make you really uncomfortable, but you are a big reason that I love coming to work every day. Sorry.
Wow.
That's
very sweet.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And what people might not know is that, you know, you, when we talk about our friendship, I mean, you have been great, even greater off the air than on the air to me.
Well, I'm lousy on the air. Now that's damning with fake praise.
No, to me. Yeah. And what people don't realize is that, you know, I had like the toughest year with the death of my brother.
Yeah.
And you would send out text to me, you know, all hours of the night asking how I was. And for that, I mean, that's just one of the many reasons I love and appreciate you.
That's
I didn't mean to cry.
No, you're making me tear up now.
But I hope that people hear that, I mean, there's genuine love for you. And we can disagree, I mean, like, down to the mat.
And
but I love you.
Well, and that's, you know, one of the things I appreciate is you will offer a different opinion often, and you will challenge me. And unlike 99% of the people in the world, then we'll go to break and we'll smile and laugh and say, that was great. That was awesome. And that's, I've said it a million times. I couldn't care less what anybody's politics are. And some of my best friends are people who have been very active in the Democratic Party and all of that. And all I care about is genuine trust and love and all of that. And I don't care because I don't talk about that stuff off the air.
It's true. And I tell people that all the time. It's like they ask me, what is Dory really like? And it's like, you are one of the greatest people I know.
Well,
and so
that's very sweet,
I just
Ursula.
Want people to know that you can disagree and life is still good. You can still be friends. I mean, especially during this holiday season, it's like...
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you.
So anyway, I didn't mean to get all teary, but I just... It made me... I thought about Diane, so I appreciate Diane for that. She made me think about, you know, what is important in life, and one of the things is friendship.
Oh, well, that's very, very nice. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're regretting that you gave me this time. Well, thank you, Diane.
No, it's just about time somebody else started crying on this show for a change. Now, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Okay.
And congratulations, Swant.
Yeah, and congratulations to the downtown construction workers.
Woo-hoo!
The construction workers downtown, you are the soundbite of the year. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Okay, I mentioned an hour ago that I'm sick and tired of how the media has mischaracterized the Jay Inslee capital gains tax. It's not. It's an income tax. That is settled. Why nobody else in the media is willing to acknowledge truth, and why they seem to be carrying the water for Jay Inslee so he can disguise this income tax, is beyond me. I've got another one. The Seattle Mariners to donate millions to fight homelessness. I got a problem with that. And that's what I've seen in every news story in today, that the Mariners have pledged to give $2.9 million to this new consortium that's going to fight homelessness, which is, it's a good thing. And this is a little dicey because our sports station has the Mariners, and I like the Mariners. I'm glad the Mariners are here. But the taxpayers just gave the Seattle Mariners $135 million for Safeco Field, you know, upgrades and maintenance. And so, really, the taxpayers have donated the millions to fight homelessness. The Mariners are just taking some of the money that we're giving them. And you know, because it's all one big pot of money for the Mariners. And then they're saying, oh, we're going to take $3 million and set up and fight homelessness. And no, it's really tax money. Because all of your revenues, if you don't consider the $135 million that we, the taxpayers, are giving you in that big pot. And I know it's good PR, and I know that that's what a lot of companies do. But I got a problem with that, because when you have a company that is subsidized to that extent by taxpayers and then they spend money on homelessness, I think that we should get the credit for fighting homelessness with that $2.9 million instead of some company, some corporation. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Oh, man, this story about the pit bull attack.
The little girl is so cute.
Oh, my goodness.
She is adorable.
Yeah, her name's Doris, no relation. And what happened was yesterday morning at this Catholic school up on
St. Therese.
Yeah, St. Therese. And it was about 10:30 in the morning. The kids were just about to come in from recess. And there was a house on the block that had two pit bulls that got out, ran to the school, attacked some of the kids as they were coming in, and here's Doris, one of the little girls.
I just saw the dog ran through the eighth graders, jump on one of my friends and start attacking me. It just dragged me and then scratched my finger and then scratched this one and started grabbing all my hair.
She talked to our news partners at Cairo 7, and she said it was very scary.
Screaming, and then my teacher was trying to get the dog away from me.
And by the way, I heard the principal describe how the teachers stopped this attack.
Two teachers, our 7th grade and 3rd grade teachers, and then another teacher came in and physically got the dog. It was not easy, but got the dog out the building and held it.
That was amazing to me. Did you see the video of the dog? Cairo TV had video of the animal control walking the dog on a leash. And it was just on a leash. They didn't have it muzzled or anything. But the fact that a teacher, you know, put herself in between the dog and the kids, and then our teacher pinned, I don't know how you pin a pit bull to the ground, because they are about 100 pounds of nothing but
like
sinew
steel
and muscle. Yeah.
This little girl has stitches in her hand, her head. I mean, she was beat up by this dog.
Doris was happy to see her mom.
She said, "What happened to my baby?"
And she was nervous about going back to school now.
Because I think the dog is going back there again.
And they haven't said if they're going to file charges against the dog's owners, but Doris's principal made her feel better.
My principal said he loved me, and we all praying for you.
Yeah, it was a really cool story, and sounds like the teachers just acted in a wonderful way. So, and they say Doris is going to be fine from all of that. Okay, finally, in our Fastest 15, we hear crazy stories all the time. This is one of the craziest. An admitted Walmart shoplifter has gone to the news media. You're really not going to believe this. He's gone to the news media to complain about a Good Samaritan who saw him shoplifting, running from the store, and tackled him to the ground. And the shoplifter wants the Good Samaritan arrested for what he did to him.
Bad ideas happen.
Bad for Christopher Simpson, now charged with one misdemeanor count of retail theft, pleading not guilty.
Me and my girlfriend decided to steal some video games from the place.
Okay, first of all, how extraordinary is that? To hear a guy just admit to the news, yeah, we went in to steal video games.
And I was the one to walk out with them. I'm unemployed, and I guess I needed the money, but, you know, I needed the merchandise, whatever. But that's no excuse for my criminal behavior.
Admitting to shoving between.
Did you say he needed the merchandise? They stole video games.
But he said that's no excuse.
No, but
it's like,
just,
not an excuse.
Just
but...
the way he phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
We needed the merchandise. You don't. If you're stealing diapers, I can maybe get it. You're stealing video games?
The merchandise, whatever, but that's no excuse I needed the merchandise, whatever, but that's no excuse for my criminal behavior.
Admitting to shoving between 10 and 15 video games in his coat, valued at $275, trying to fly by a security officer at Walmart in Greenfield last week.
One thing led to another, and he threw me into the Redbox machine and busted that.
A shopper and former high school football defensive lineman making the tackle.
And then I hit the floor with my head, and basically after that, he put me, you know, down, and he laid on top of me. I could barely breathe.
Good! That's what we need! Good Samaritans trapping criminals like you!
Simpson does have a lengthy criminal record, but he says it's the first time he's ever tried to steal.
I was just trying to make it out of there alive. I mean, I don't know what possessed this guy to do this.
The shopper holding Simpson in place until police arrive.
The suspect said he was going to have me arrested for assaulting him, and I told him I'm not assaulting you, I'm just holding you until the cops get here.
No, I think what he did was wrong, and I think he should be punished for it.
Simpson was treated for a bumped head and possible bruised ribs before being taken to jail. Out now on bond.
Oh, this would have turned out differently if I was seriously injured because he wouldn't have walked away clean.
His girlfriend was also cited for retail theft.
We're trying to find jobs right now so we don't do things like this.
Yeah, you're never going to get a job, Christopher Simpson, because you're a loser. You're just a pathetic loser. Blaming the guy who tackled you, saying he should be charged?
You don't know what possessed him to do this?
Yeah.
The stolen merchandise.
Jeez. Oh, that all is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to talk to a woman whose car was stolen, and she's got a real beef with how Seattle police handled it. Details coming up next. Well, I saw a story last night that our friend Gary Harker at Cairo 7 did about yet another Seattle crime victim. But this one has some real frustrating story plot twists that involve the Seattle police. Let me welcome to the show Shireen Park joining us. Hey, Shireen, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time and the effort to have my story being heard.
Yeah, it's quite a story. So you had your car and a lot of your possessions inside of it. Why did you have so much stuff inside your car?
I had traveled up from Portland. I was to have an ultrasound done at the radiology clinic at the University of Washington in the U District.
Okay.
So that was why, who believes that they need to worry about? I was 5 feet from my car when it got taken.
Wow. Okay, so your car was just parked and somebody stole it. Do you have any idea how they stole it? The keys weren't in it, were they?
Well, no, the keys were not in it. I was taking my dog, actually, it's a little small area of grass, and there's also a children's playground there. And while I was unleashing her, this is speculation, but when I unhooked her from the leash, I believe the keys may have fell out of my pocket, but I was still in very close proximity to where that happened. There were two gentlemen that were sitting on a bench a little bit away, really close to the children's playground, that I kind of had a perception that they might be homeless.
Yeah.
And I just was with, I saw a young girl with a puppy, and I was there probably no more than 10 to 12 minutes, and then put my hand on my coat to get my keys, realized they were gone, and I thought, oh my gosh, I know I had them just, 5 minutes ago, so it would only be here. I looked in that area, no keys. I immediately looked up and saw there was only 5 cars on that street anyway.
Yeah.
And mine was no longer one of those 5.
Wow.
It was a big missing place.
And tell me, Shereen, what kind of personal belongings were in the car when it was stolen?
Well, along with my purse, my wallet, credit cards, debit cards, I believe close to probably $500, because I was, again, traveling, and I just, necessities. So I had that much cash, and then the trunk was had 2 suitcases and a bike.
Oh, man.
So it was filled.
Yeah.
And I had just gone grocery shopping. I mean, the ironic part was I kind of just gave them everything to have a wonderful joyride.
Yeah.
Along with a little Santa that picked up.
Oh, man. Okay, so then you reported it right away to Seattle Police, correct?
Correct. And I immediately didn't even know if 911 was appropriate, having never had this happen. And then instinctually I thought, well, what else am I going to do? So I called them.
Sure.
And they told me a police officer would be coming.
Okay. And then you find out later that, and I believe it was 25 minutes after you called and reported it stolen, Seattle Police issued a citation for your car because it was illegally parked in front of a fire hydrant?
Correct. And I found that out. I dove into the court records and put my license plates under the search bar so that any records with my associated with my license plate would come up. I saw that one. It was dated the same date. And then I'm looking at, you can click on it and actually get more information. I got the actual address. And the reason for the citation, which was parked in front of a fire hydrant, that prompted me to call the number where the police officer who'd given me the card.
Yeah.
And I asked for an explanation. Why in the world was I not contacted? Why if they were able to put my license plate in a system, why didn't it come up as stolen?
So your frustration is you had reported it as stolen. They wrote a ticket 25 minutes later for mm-hmm. your car, and you think that they should have had the license plate, that it was a stolen car at that moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I've heard from no less than 4 different individuals associated with, I'm not saying they're all police officers, but associated with people that are answering the phone, whose phone number I've been given, they give me every different explanation. There is not one same answer. It's all different answers. But
well,
why?
You would Some think, them, I mean, in this, computer era of ours,
yes.
You would think that the moment you reported your car stolen, gave them the license plate number, that could immediately be entered into a database. And if they encounter it in the next few minutes in any way, then they can recover it for you.
Exactly. Well, yeah. It's a felony to steal a car. And so they will pursue them very vividly. And the real answer and the real motivation here and the anger and frustration on my part is it's not a nice person who takes your car. It's a criminal. And a criminal mind has criminal behavior, and that means that everything that happens while they are in possession of your car is not going to be good.
Yeah, no, and you found the car how much later? Somebody found the car days later?
Well, I as I said, I found the court records, so I found out by doing the same thing with calling my credit card, which had been used. I found out that the car was in Bellevue, so I called back and added to my original police report, gave them the zip code. I was hoping that it was a store that they could have film on it, because I felt I had to be driving this for myself, because
yeah.
It was necessary for me to help out in this. I couldn't just be a bystander and say, well, whatever. So, yes, I was called, I believe it was two and a half days later, by a different officer, not the one that took the report. And he said, the car is located at 43rd and University behind the post office.
Okay.
And
that's a real heavy drug use area right there. 43rd and University.
Yeah, well, unbeknownst to me, I mean, it changes the way I feel about that area now, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, it's gotten horrible. And what condition was your car in when it was recovered?
Well, I walked around the corner. I saw the policeman with their bulletproof vest in an SUV, and I was kind of waving at them because I figured one of them was the person that called me. I turned the corner, and all of a sudden, first thing I see is a huge part of the car that's obviously run into something, a back wall and scratches all along it. And then as I got closer, I saw a window was broken, then the back end was run in, and also the front end. So it's got damage all the way around it.
And all of your possessions were gone?
Yes. I mean, the first thing I said to the gentleman, is my purse in there? Is my wallet? And he said, do you know what your purse would look like? I said, yeah, I would recognize it. And it's actually an unusual purse that I would build. And he said, well, why don't you go through the stuff in the car and see if there's anything of yours in there? To which, to my horror, I open up the car door, and it is filled all the way up almost to the top of the back seat of articles, none of which are mine, and appear to be all stolen, not to mention they had chicken bones. I mean, it's like, it's disgusting.
Yeah. And you also, you know, you also found drug residue in there?
Drugs? Yeah, there was a huge bong with still drugs in it. There was a package of marijuana. I later found and pointed it out to them. It's like, I've never really actually seen crack, but I pulled out the little thing close to the wheel, and there's crack particles in there. The car smelled horrendous, but all the merchandise, there was also a lot of things that would be associated with breaking and entering.
Sure.
All sorts of tools and knives. There were several switchblade knives in there.
Oh my goodness! Well, what a horrible thing to have to go through, and this is happening, you know, several times every day in Seattle. It's just, it has gotten just horrible for people, and I'm so sorry to hear what you've had to go through.
Well, and you know, another statistic that really sort of opened my eyeballs is that I heard two different statistics: 186 and 196 percentage of cars that are recovered. However, you know why they get recovered? Because they're abandoned.
Yeah.
And people get tired of them being... Well, what does that also tell you about license plates? I mean, I guarantee you other people have run into the situation where they get the unfortunate experience of finding out they've not only lost a car and had it stolen, but they're now in possession of having to go to court, which is what I was told. Like, I should be thrilled. Oh, don't worry about that ticket. You're gonna be able to get that squashed. Well, that's not why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because why isn't this thing lining up?
Yeah. Well, we just aren't prioritizing the crimes that are impacting people like you every single day around our region, and it's a shame. I mean, it's just a failure of leadership in this area, and People's lives are being impacted. Well, I'm very sorry to hear of your experience, Shireen. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And everybody's we all have to be on point every second to be aware of the criminals in our midst. That's for sure.
Yeah, my advice is if anybody else goes through this situation, keep your eye on the court records and watch if there's anything showing up. Yep. If your license plate is showing up and there's some sort of record, that gives you some insight as to where the car is or what's been happening.
Good advice. Shireen, I appreciate you coming on with me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
You do the same. Shireen Park joining us. Love to hear your comments. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I was talking yesterday about the unbelievable double standard in the outrage mob. Mika Brzezinski, who, as you know, said what many are calling the most homophobic slur ever uttered by a morning news anchor.
Why doesn't Mike Pompeo care right now? Are the pathetic deflections that we just heard when he appeared on Fox and Friends, is that a patriot speaking or a wannabe dictator's butt boy?
Okay. She, this morning, issued an apology.
I want to get to something first. I was off yesterday for a family matter, as you mentioned, but I wanted to address a term that I used on this show on Wednesday that was vulgar. I knew it right away, and I tweeted that it was a terrible choice of words and that I was sorry. But please allow me to say this face to face. The term is crass and offensive, and I apologize to everyone, especially the LGBTQ community and to my colleagues for using it. It was a mistake. My father would have found it so unbecoming and disrespectful, and he would have told me. I will work hard to be better, but I just wanted to say, on camera, looking the viewer straight in the eye, I am really, really sorry.
What a loser. But she doesn't apologize to Mike Pompeo or Donald Trump, the two people who she thought I could slur by accusing them of being homosexuals. She doesn't apologize to them. Compare that to Megyn Kelly, what got her fired by the same company when she was talking about Halloween costumes.
But what is racist? Because truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
Megyn Kelly got fired by that by NBC. Mika Brzezinski says something a million times worse, and she gets retained by NBC, the same company. You don't think there's a far left bias in the outrage mob? Big Lead of Two next.